real quick before I get into the Word, and this won't be long, I promise. Two things. We're going to forego Wednesday night. We were already going to be canceling the last two Wednesday nights, but we're going to go ahead and let's cancel this week, and we'll just pick back up on Wednesday nights after the first of the year on that. I know everybody's busy and got things they're doing, and so we want to hold off on that. And then next Sunday is going to be a very special service. We'll have our Christmas service. It's going to be so sweet. And we'll have the bags and stuff for the kiddos at the end of the service. But it'll be a beautiful time of worship for Christmas. And we're going to forego our meal that we normally have in the gym after the church. We've got a lot of our families planning things on their own. And so, and we have folks that are going to be gone. So we're going to hold off on that. But after the first year, we'll plan to have some fellowship because that's needful. We need to have that together. So we'll be planning a meal down there. But just real quick, just mark your calendars. We're not going to be meeting on Wednesday nights for the rest of this year for the month of December. And then we'll forego next Sunday's meal. But we will be here. And you don't want to miss it. It's going to be great. Going to be an awesome time. Amen? All right. Well, let me just share this word because I think it's such a needful word at this, even this time of the year. My text is from John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8 is what I'll start with. This is from the NIV version. Jesus is speaking, if you remain in me, now the King James says abide, but this is from the NIV. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Brother Charlie, God has the right vehicle for you. Amen. Why? Because you abide in the vine. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory. Now that's important. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The title of my message this morning is Abiding in the Vine. Abiding in the Vine. One of the first questions that theologians have been asking since the beginning of time, they've been asking this question, why did God create human beings? Why did God create men and women? We have to understand that He did not need to create us. If He needed to do anything, He would not be God, Brother Tony. So God doesn't need anything. In fact, He could have gone throughout all of eternity before time existed, and He could have been fine, and He could have been happy. So the question is, why am I here, and what's my real purpose? Is it just to have a job or to make a living? Is it to raise a family and go on vacation? Is it to even get an education? What is the reason for our existence? Well, we find the Bible giving us the answer to those very questions, which is this. Human beings, meaning men and women, were created to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. God wanted somebody to fellowship with Him and to love Him and enjoy Him for a whole of eternity. Our very existence today is to glorify God. Our primary purpose, along with glorifying God then, is to enjoy His presence, just like we have enjoyed His presence this morning, and commune with Him forever. And that's why we're here. We're not here to just make a living. Yes, we have to work because we do have financial obligations. But all of those things, guess what? They're secondary to the main purpose. And what is sad yet funny at the same time, so many folks miss it because it's so simple to understand. We are on earth right now to glorify God, to reflect His love to others, amen, to worship Him and to serve Him. And when you and I are glorifying God in whatever way, God helps us then to do just that, because we are now fulfilling the purpose of our existence. And this is why so many people who even go to church are lacking peace, and they're lacking joy, and they're lacking vitality, because they don't even know what to aim for each and every day when they wake up. Listen, every morning we wake up, our main goal should be understanding the purposes of God for our life for that day. Lord, thank you for waking me up. Thank you for breath. What do you want me to do today? I know I've got to go to my work, but Lord, whatever, there's something that you need me to do, to speak to somebody, to give them a word today, then you show me. What is my purpose for today? How can I glorify God today? What do I need for today? Now here's what Paul wrote, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. He says this, "Whether you eat or whether you drink, or whatever you do, you do it all for the glory of God." So when we have a meal, we can glorify God. God, thank you for this food. And guess what? You will find folks who just take life as a series of unimportant and insignificant actions. They don't take it serious, not realizing that we were created and we are at our happiest when God is glorified. Whatever we eat and whatever we drink, just think how little we take that to heart, and that whatever we do, we're doing it for the glory of God. And understand, that's where not only is God's praise, but now all of His fulfilling power, all of His grace, and all of His blessings then began to flow to us when we are glorifying Him. It comes right back to us. Comes right back to us. We glorify Him, He can't wait to empty His pockets, because we're His kids. Why is that? Because we're moving in the purpose of our existence to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's what He wants. He wants us to be with Him forever. And yes, it is so sad to see people out in the world trying to be happy without God. Even people who come to church on a Sunday trying to be happy outside of glorifying God. Understand with me this morning, it is impossible to truly be happy without God. And those who do not have a true relationship with the Lord, the more they try to be happy, guess what? The less they are. And the more they make happiness their goal, the more it escapes them, because that's not their, they don't know their true purpose. Yet when you don't try in your own self to be happy, and you just go ahead and just glorify God, guess what? Happiness is chasing you all the time. You can't help it. It'll be there. When we're glorifying the Lord with our whole being, we have an unspeakable joy, and we find that we have a zest and an enthusiasm in living our lives. It's exciting to get up in the morning to see what God has for today. And so many people are aiming at the pleasure principle, we call it. But none of those things, like money or relationships, vacations, educational achievement, a great career, even children and a family, as wonderful as those things are, none of these things can bring the joy and the fulfillment that glorifying God with our lives brings to us. They have their place. Understand, they have their place. And now Paul says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. So now the question comes, obviously, how do you glorify God? It's got to be more than coming to church on a Sunday morning for 1 or 2 hours, because then, guess what? We'd only be glorifying God one day out of the week. And how many know that doesn't make any sense? So how do we glorify God? Well, the answer lies in the following verses of Scripture. And here they are, John 15. I'm going to begin this time with verse 1 of John 15, NIV. Here's Jesus saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that I'll be even more fruitful. So notice, there's no fruit, he cuts it away. You bear fruit, he prunes you, so you can bear even more fruit. Verse 3, you're already clean, or you're pruned, because of the word that I have spoken to you. Verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Now that phrase, remain in me and I'll remain in you, that's a very deep word. The King James, of course, has it, abide in me and I'll abide in you. And then some other translations say, stay connected to me, stay with me, be close to me and be with me, being in union with me, and I will be in union with you. So it's considered a very complex word in the Greek that different translations bring out with different renderings. So here we have in our NIV version, the New International Version that I'm reading from, verse 4, remain in me, as also I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit of it by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now here we go now, not just bearing fruit, but now bearing much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Verse 7 and 8, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Why? Because you're in the vine. You're connected to the vine. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So what brings the Father much glory besides singing to him? And that's wonderful. And giving him glory that way, verbally worshiping God like we've done this morning in song. Jesus says now, this is what brings great glory to you, my Father, that you bear much fruit. By you bearing fruit, you prove to be my disciples, and my Father's glorified. And watch this, the fruit bearing is not just on a Sunday. Did you know that? The fruit bearing is 24/7, 365. As you bear fruit, my Father is glorified. So what kind of fruit are we talking about? Well, how about when you're simply kind to the waitress who's having a bad day, and you still bear the fruit of kindness? How about love? How about mercy? When you love people who are different than you, different in their backgrounds, when you're patient with people who are trying your nerves out, and now it's like they're on your last nerve, and guess what? You still stay patient. Our Heavenly Father, then, is glorified when you spread the good news of Jesus Christ with boldness, like we've just heard how the group from in Peru, that's good fruit, converts are made. The Lord is glorified when you bear fruit of souls getting saved. And again, when you're filled with patience and you're filled with kindness and you're filled with forgiving and dropping grudges, not carrying a grudge, the Lord is glorified when you bear good fruit. And sadly, much of Christianity has been reduced to, oh, where do you go to church? Where do you go for an hour on Sunday? Jesus said, I am the vine and you're the branches. And here we are talking about where we go and we sit in church for an hour on Sunday. And yes, we know that's a good thing to do because the Bible encourages us all to forsake not the assembling of ourselves. How many know it's a good thing to come together? That's our freedom that we have to be able to do that. It's a good thing to worship together. It's a good thing to pray together and to share testimonies like we've heard this morning. I mean, that builds us up in our faith. But just think what this verse now is saying. Jesus is saying, my Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. I'm the vine and you are the branches. Let's understand what the Lord is saying. He's saying, I'm the whole vine. I'm not just some part of the vine. I'm not just the root structure. I'm the whole vine. So Lord, help us to understand that you truly are then the whole vine, because the only thing that can make it of mine is my life, and my life as the branch produces everything from the vine. You understand what I'm saying? Lord, you're everything. You're the vine. And I'm the branches. And when the life is flowing through the plant from the vine to the branches, that's when the fruit comes. And the truth of all of this is by bearing beautiful fruit, that's the way we glorify God. How many want to glorify God? I know I do. So let's learn how we do that. By simply just staying connected to the vine. That's all it is. Understand that when the vine, from the vine, there is a liquid sap, they call it, running from the plant up through the roots, and that's what the life of the plant is. The fruit then is produced not by anything else, because it can't do anything on its own, but only by remaining on the vine. The sap, the very life of the plant, flows up and produces then an apple or a fig or even a beautiful flower. And that's what Jesus says to us. Don't try to do anything on your own, because you can't do anything. It won't work. It may for a moment, but it's going to fall apart. Thank you. I was going to say flitter out or whatever, but anyway. You can't be kind, you can't be loving, you can't be patient, you can't be what I want you to be, you can't have beautiful fruit on your own, for apart from me you can do nothing. Amen. Yet we find Jesus saying this, but with me, guess what? All things are possible. Just stay connected to the life of the Spirit that I put in you, and that is in the entire vine, which He is. And we, you and I, are the branches. And if as a branch we get pulled off or we get cut away from the vine, the moment that happens, no matter how it looks, guess what? It's going to die. It won't live. Because only life is in the vine. And this is what Satan is always trying to do with you and me. He wants to draw us away from abiding in Christ, stopping us from being connected to Christ. He gets us busy, Brandon, as you were saying early, to do all kind of other things which we think are important. And yes, they have their place. But He wants to stop us, here we go, from trusting Christ. Somebody talked about that this morning, about trusting Him. He wants to keep us from staying connected and abiding in Christ. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Paul wrote these words, recorded in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What was he saying? Simply that I have found the secret. I no longer live. It is not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by trusting in the life in him. Trusting in that life-giving sap, that juice, the Spirit of Almighty God, the power that I have in Christ as I abide in him. And again, Jesus said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Now abide in me. Stay connected to me. Understand then, abiding in Christ is a very high spiritual skill, we could say. In reading church history, you find that great men and women of God through the ages, that's what they longed for. They said, we're not only saints, we're not only children of God, we are branches in the vine. And Jesus says, stay connected, because you can't believe what I'll do in your life and through you if you'll just abide in me. You don't have to struggle, Brother Tony. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You don't have to make promises that you can't keep. All you have to do is abide in him. Stay connected. Stay online. Keep the communication lines going. But the devil wants to keep us offline. He don't want us to stay connected. So he's going to try interference every way he can. If you don't abide, even if you read the Bible, guess what? It won't do you any good. And we see that with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the ones quoting the verses, but they were not abiding in the life of God. They were the ones who planned the murder of the Son of God. Listen now, here's the essence of this message today. I can preach and we can sing and we can teach and we can greet and we can lead in a religious outward observance. But unless you and I are abiding daily, there's not going to be any fruit. I cannot produce fruit on my own. It's a hopeless task. Oh, I might try, but guess what? It won't last. As Paul said, the only life I have, the only hope I have is in Jesus Christ. And he's the life that's in the vine. He is the vine and I'm just a branch, an offshoot that can take in his life-giving spirit. And then watch this, without struggling then, produce all kinds of fruit. Why? Because I'm connected to the vine. That power, that life, it's flowing into me. So how do you abide in Christ? Well, it's something we have to pray for every morning and every day. We have to ask the Lord to teach us. Lord, teach me today how I can abide in you. Here then are some things about abiding in Christ. When you want to abide in Christ and now you're very close to him and you're staying connected to the Lord, abiding in the vine, here's what happens. It changes, Brandon, your life. First of all, you have new desires because his life is now flowing through you. You have a different thought pattern than you did before. His life is now creating new desires and new thoughts. And then all of a sudden, you feel like praying for someone. He might wake you up in the morning, or during the night, to intercede for someone. He's done that to me many of times, especially with my grandchildren. And I knew the next morning I had to contact them and let them know that I prayed for them, whatever they're going through, and the Lord loves them. He suggests acts of mercy and kindness that you've never had before. Well, thank you, Lord. I've never even thought of doing that. Thank you. He'll download wisdom and understanding and all of the things that we need for that fruit to come forth. He triggers something in you to get right with someone that maybe you have had a grudge with. Understand then that simply His life working in us and flowing through our very being. Notice, we're bearing fruit, and hopefully all of us are. He said that His Father is the gardener, and He comes and He prunes us so that we can do what? Have more fruit. Understand now, pruning is cutting. It's not pleasant. But I bet if we could all talk privately, we all know what it's like to be pruned by our Heavenly Father. And guess what? He does it by using this word, Brother Tony. You read something and you go, oh, ouch. That's sharp. That was for me. What's He doing? He's pruning you. And He says, yes, I know you're bearing fruit, but you got stuff blocking the sap. Remember, God knows us, Brandon, better than we know ourselves. So understand, these branches pointing to myself here, I'm pointing to myself. The minute they get stopped up, some blocking that flow of that sap, we have to let the gardener then come and cut it out. Remember, that debris, that blockage, whatever it might be, Lord, you've got to cut that out. Why? It's certainly not to hurt us, because we know He's a good God. He doesn't do it on purpose to hurt us, but it's for our good. He loves us so that we can bear more fruit, so that we can have more peace and we can have more joy, and that we'll be able to give more glory to the Father. Over and over, we glorify Him. He prunes us. We bear more fruit. And guess what? Sometimes He uses circumstances in life to prune us so that we can bear more fruit. Lord, why did I go through that? What lesson were you trying to teach me? I was pruning you. You needed to learn that lesson of patience, or overcoming, or trusting. And that's why it's so important to be in that Word every day. Thank you, Brandon, for setting us up for this first of this year to stay in that Word, so that His Word can speak to us and prune us. How many want to bear fruit? I know I do. Amen. Then I can only do that by abiding in Him. So Lord, prune me wherever you see I need pruning. And guess what? Sometimes He'll use your spouse. And the guys ought to be saying amen. Brother Gary says, Lord, why does it have to come from my wife? Why don't you just let the angel Gabriel come down and speak to me? Here's another thing. When you're abiding in Christ, you become sensitive to things that you haven't been sensitive to in the past. If you're here today and you're struggling maybe with some problem, some lingering anger issues, and now you're hooked up into some bitterness, or you have found yourself dealing with some pride issues, and now you can't seem to humble yourself no matter what, the only answer then is abiding in Christ. When you abide in Christ, it's impossible to be proud, because you get His humble spirit then flowing in you. Show me someone proud and boastful, and I'll show you someone who is not abiding in the vine. It's as simple as that. You're hooked maybe into some immoral practice, some unclean thing, maybe pornography. The way to defeat it is not to fight it and speak against it, but try to stamp it out on your own. What does James 4 and 8 tell us? Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. That means to join or attach yourself to the vine. And guess what? He'll attach Himself to you. He'll stay attached. And the verse before that in James 4, 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. And guess what? He will flee from you. Why? Because you're attached to the vine. He can't stay. We abide in Christ because when His life is flowing through you, all the junk has to go. It can't stay. It has to go. Lord, you see what I'm dealing with. Cleanse me. I want your Spirit flowing through me. Listen, if you have racial prejudice in you or you have some kind of discrimination of some kind, and guess what? There's all kind of brands of that out there. There's no way you can defeat that in the natural. And sadly, for a lot of folks, they grew up in a bigoted home. And they took it in with their mother's milk. They heard stuff that was just so ungodly and unkind, but they did not know it, sadly, at the time. So the only way that to have a sweet smell coming out of our lives is to abide in Christ. And that is how we bear much fruit. And by this, our Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Remember, in heaven, every nation, every tribe, every tongue is going to be there, worshiping the King of Kings. You won't see denominations. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Baptist. It's all man-made. God will not recognize that. He will not welcome you into the through the pearly gates and say, oh, you are a good Pentecostal. Absolutely not. It's going to be according to how much fruit did you bear. Did you stay connected to me? And not to some man-made thing. The true church of Jesus Christ is that we come out of the world and we belong to Jesus and only Jesus. And then we can learn then how to abide in Him. And He'll produce fruit in our lives that will bring such glory to the Father. I want to learn how to abide even more in Him. And so, what should our prayer be? Oh, Lord, teach me to abide in you. It's not going to come out. It's not just going to come here on Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. That's not going to cut it. It's abiding, what, 24/7. Communing, listening, obeying, confessing, staying humble and peaceful and accountable and faithful and teachable. Teach us, Lord, to abide in you. And again, why are we here? To glorify God. So let's do that, especially as we go through this holiday season. Amen and amen. Did I make it to 12? What time is it? All right, all right. Oh, praise God. All right, let's all stand together. Thank you, Lord. What are we? We're the branches. He's the vine. If you don't remember anything else, is stay connected to the vine. Amen. Let that fruit come forth, especially in this season. There's so many hurting people. So many. Father, we just thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimonies that we've heard from our team that went to Peru. Thank you for those lives that were changed. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, they glorified you as they walked those streets and gave their testimonies and loved on people. Thank you, Lord. You were glorified.